you know, lead with love, be generous, be patient, be kind to people. You never know who you meet and how you might be able to leverage value from those relationships along the way. So you want to leave a positive impression, try to add value and make a contribution to every situation that you can.
John Dutton.
I'm very well, thank you. My pleasure to join you.
Arman Ahluwalia.
Thank you so much, Eugene. This is quite an honor. I appreciate you you extending the offer to come here and speak today.
Pedro Diaz-Ridao.
First of all, thanks for having me and excited, you know, to be part of this podcast.
Ronan Doniger.
Huge. Thank you very much, I suppose, first of all, for having me on your show.
Dean Butchin.
The key point is ask, 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 and never give up.
And welcome to eProcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the new episode of eProcast. Anastasia here, and I hope you're all doing well and staying safe. In today's episode, Big E is joined not by one, but two guests, and both from the US. He's joined by Marcus Hurley, the director of rugby at Rugby Academy of America, and also by the RAA athlete Terence White. They talked about the mission of Rugby Academy of America and how it helps athletes like Terence to achieve their goals, like playing in pro rugby and even qualify for Olympic Games. So your double dose of values, stories and insights starts now. Enjoy!
Welcome back to a new episode of eProcast, and it's a special one because it's never been done before in the 35 episode history of this podcast. I'm having more than one guest at the same time during an episode. So, and I'm really excited because it's a new challenge for me personally, and also it's going to be more fun because it's more insights, more stories, and so on. So, I have alongside me the director of rugby at Rugby Academy of America, and a very good friend of mine, Marcus Hurley. How's it going, Marcus?
Hey guys. It's going well, Eugene. It's great to see you and talk to you. Thanks for having me.
And on the other side, I also have his protege, the RAA athlete, Terence White. How's it going, Terence?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me, brother.
Guys, welcome to the show and thanks for taking the time. Marcus, why don't you share your background and what you do day by day, and definitely we'll go into the Rugby Academy of America in a bit, but why don't you share your background?
Well, yeah, again, thank you for having me. I'm happy to share my story, and I hope it lends some insight to someone out there. But just a little bit about my background. Obviously, started off as a player, an athlete in rugby, and eventually evolved as my rugby playing career started to conclude, started to evolve my career to stay connected to the sport that I love as a coach and as an administrator. Oftentimes throughout my playing days, I volunteer or serve in an additional capacity as an administrator to many clubs and teams that I was associated with. And that lended itself to my coaching career, and then ultimately lended some value to my career in launching a company, if you will, or a startup, which has now evolved into the Rugby Academy of America. But like most people, started off at the club level, played and coached at the regional level, several select side teams and organizations, and then some international experience as well with the Collegiate All-Americans, and also being invited to join the camp at the Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista in Southern California with the men's sevens team, and my coach Mike Friday out there. But yeah, I started off as a player and then went to coach the club level. I was the head coach for a high school team that experienced some success. And then I was promoted to the all-state select side team, which, you know, I was fortunate enough to take from not having much success to becoming undefeated and then winning a regional and national select side championships. Then subsequently promoted to become the head coach at Indiana University, which is our state's and often years is our region's premier university side. Lots of alumni and interesting people that are associated with that organization, including people like Mark Cuban. I know you've had previous guest Peter Dinwiddie, who's professional manager and executive with the Indiana Pacers. Was a former teammate of mine through that club at Indiana University. And then, from there, I went on to found and serve as the commissioner for the Big Ten University's Rugby Conference, which was the regional governing body for college rugby throughout the Midwest. There were 9 states and 11 schools that participated in that competitive structure. And then ultimately, I served for a brief time with Serevi Rugby, or Atavis, which is another academy or camping clinic company out of Seattle. I was their Midwest director for a time, and then I evolved and struck out on my own to start my own academy, and that's what is currently known as the Rugby Academy of America. So we service athletes all over the world. Terrence is one of our best athletes and most committed athletes who's pursuing his Olympic rugby aspirations. But we do everything at the academy, from a travel team to consulting with universities and other organizations who have an interest in developing rugby services or rugby programming at various levels. We do a daily training environment, which we do offer virtually, which has been very handy and timely, giving the significant problems that COVID and quarantining life have posed to training environments and competition in rugby. We do continuing education programming, as well as some skill development work for American football organization. So that's Rugby Academy of America. It's been a long road to hoe. I think this is my 24th year involved in rugby. And it's been a real dream come true to be able to work in an industry and in a field that I have such a passion for. So I've been very fortunate and very blessed to be able to have made it this far.
Yeah, that's super awesome. And I'll jump over to Terrence. Terrence, you have such a rich story, if you will. And why don't you share what sports you've done and what has been your road to where you're now? And of course, you're pursuing your Olympic dream. Fingers crossed. I'm here the other side of the ocean, and hopefully you'll get there very soon. But why don't you share what sports you've done? And we'll talk a little bit in a second about how RAA is helping you out in achieving this dream.
So a little about me. I played basketball throughout high school. Then I found track. Most of my coaches allowed me to run track. I didn't know that I had the gift to run as fast as I could until I joined track my senior year. And then I went off to the military. And when I joined the military, I didn't know, what God had for me. So God opened up major doors for me within the military to play rugby. I found rugby, and rugby changed my life. I started to compete as the club teams. And then at first I was at the post team, then the club teams. Then I had an opportunity to play with Atlantis rugby, good Costa Rica team, to develop my skill in the game of rugby. I started to connect with Andrew Locke, the captain of the USA Army. He had invested his time with me, with Will Holder, Matty Tygo, all these WCAP and Olympic athletes. They took time to invest their time in me to be part of the All-Army Sevens. Then I continued to get better and better and better. And as I exited the military, I had a coach who was helping me get better in all aspects of my game. And then his name was Gary Hines, who won the silver medal in bobsled. He took me under his wing and trained me up to become a better athlete, period. No matter if it was rugby, no matter if it was bobsled. So he showed me, he said, hey, I suggest you to go out there and try for bobsled. So I went out there to the combine. I did very well. And after I took the combine, I had my first invite to Lake Placid Olympic Training Center this year. Rest is history. I continue to chase the Olympic dream to go to Beijing for 2022. And hopefully I can, get on the squad for rugby for 2021 in Tokyo.
Yeah, and I think this is fun because you mentioned bobsleigh, and it's for the audience. It's part of the winter program at the Winter Olympics, and rugby as of Rio 2016, the rugby sevens is in the summer program. What have you found interesting or common that what did you take from rugby that helps you a lot in bobsleigh?
Oh, well, playing rugby for me was the, it took a lot. It taught me how to, first of all, it taught me how to be patient. Patience is, you know, a virtue. It taught me patience. It taught me how to be aware of my surroundings and all aspects of, you know, what sports you play. It built me, it built character in me. It built the will to work hard, have the confidence to work hard. I was small, and everywhere I go, I will always be small. But rugby installed in me that no matter what size, no matter what weight, no matter how strong, you can be the best you can be. And the skill-wise, it got me, I'm like, it helps me 100 because I got stronger. I can see very well. Vision helped me implement a lot of things like reading pitches, creating space. Then for bobsled, to bobsled, we moving, you know, forward. You got to move a sled, 500-pound sled on ice as fast as you can forward. It teaches me to, you know, from a tackling technique for rugby, I can power through the sled. So it's a lot of stuff that rugby helpful with bobsled.
And Marcus, getting back to you, you're one of the founders of the Big Ten Rugby Conference. How, and you can share the story of when it happened and how the thing changed since then and where Big Ten Conference is now in rugby.
Yeah, that's a good question, Eugene. And there are some really fascinating things there. I think, as you're aware, you know, the game of rugby is developing fairly rapidly here in the United States. But by comparison to some of the more mainstream sports, such as baseball, basketball, and football, it's a relative neophyte. The beautiful thing about the sport of rugby is that people like myself and Terrence and you, once you have some exposure to it, it has just a very unique draw. You know, it gets in your blood, so to speak. People love the game, the camaraderie, the sportsmanship, the strategy. There's so many different facets of rugby that are attractive to any sportsman, in my opinion. And as we're developing the game here in the United States, we're just now addressing and mitigating the challenges of developing a burgeoning sport such as rugby. So at the Big Ten level, things that we're trying to do is implement and institute new standards. So we're trying to standardize things, the way the game looks, the way the game is played. So quality of refereeing, standards in terms of sportsmanship, but then also thinking about the sport as a commodity, so to speak, and how to broaden our viewership. So trying to partner with major network television stations, for example. So in the Big Ten or in the Midwest, we have what's called the Big Ten Network, and they broadcast relatively large to a large viewership sporting event. And so in working with the Big Ten Network, we realized we've got to improve and evolve how we capture our sport on camera. So the types of cameras we're using, the level of production crews that we use, professional production crews with a minimum number of cameras, different angles, the professionalism of the editing, the broadcasters, the sportscasters, the people announcing the game. So these are all things that we had to teach ourselves how to do and then implement as a standard to our members. So each university now is required to have jerseys that look a certain way. They're required. You know, we had to standardize and consider the type of sponsorships and corporate partnerships we wanted to establish. So do we want logos on the jerseys? Do we want logos on the fields? Do we want to add commercials to the broadcast? And we had to decide what was going to be appropriate and what would be enticing to networks so that we could, you know, potentially sell our product, so to speak, to networks as adequate programming for and meeting their standards. So that was a challenge of something we had to consider. I think that's been happening at all levels here in the United States. There are some people that are farther along than others. I think if you're familiar with Infinity Park or Rugby Town USA in Glendale, Colorado, they're probably the leader in several aspects of evolving and developing the game of rugby as a commodity, but both as an experience for competitors and for viewers. But these are some of the challenges and the things. It came about essentially from some, I won't say mandates, but USA Rugby is trying to encourage and promote regional and local participants to evolve and to reconsider how they're managing their competitions. And there was an opportunity for us to become a little bit more synonymous with other already established competitive structures by creating the Big Ten Rugby Conference. So the Big Ten is widely known competitive conference for other sports at the collegiate level in the United States. So we're essentially trying to synchronize and become a little bit more consistent with the established competitive structures and their notoriety, but then also learn from their stories. You know, the Big Ten, how did that come about and what value does it lend its membership? And that's generally, as the commissioner of that conference, what I looked to do was to add services, to add value to the member universities of the conference and encourage and incentivize them to increase, you know, their participation, their organization, not just standardize and mandate things, but also to help provide new opportunities and to share ideas through our weekly conference calls. And frankly, I think it was quite effective. You know, I think most of the member schools improved their level of play. They improved their levels of organization. Local leaders had new opportunities and more fun projects to be a part of and had less and less of a local club environment and atmosphere and more of a mainstream, kind of a professional training and competitive environment. And that's what we set out to do. There's still lots of work to do, obviously. But as you mentioned, Eugene, the games, the Olympic Games in Rio in 2016, those were a watershed moment for rugby, especially in America, because that allowed, you know, the International Olympic Committee to then offer services, funding, guidance to the U.S. Olympic Committee, who then worked more closely with USA Rugby, who then provided some high performance guidelines and pathway programming for people like myself at a local and regional level, where I was already a leader and administrator and coach at the regional level here in the Midwest. Now, with my academy, I'm able to provide some pathway opportunities for local and regional athletes to potentially pursue Olympic level competition. So that's generally where this all came from, was the games in 2016 opened up, you know, huge pathways and significant new opportunities for Americans to become professionals in the sport of rugby and athletes like Terrence as well.
Yeah. And funneling it down from, you know, IOC to NOC to USA Rugby and to local USA Rugby and then to local academies, local rugby organizations and so on, and to organizations like yours, the Rugby Academy of America. Can you share more insights about RAA and the mission of the of this academy? How this, because this is going to be very valuable to listeners and young and not only guys and gals who want to open their own thing. And you were one of them who said, I want to open your own thing after working with Adibus, after working with for other organizations.
Yeah, that's a great question. And essentially, based on my experience in working as administrator and a coach and kind of rising through the ranks from local to state to regional, I personally had a network and infrastructure that would lend itself to these new opportunities that were being provided by USA Rugby's high performance department. And so essentially, USA faces a challenge with not only the weather changes in different parts of the country, what we refer to as seasonality, but also just the geographic challenges in that our country is so big. You have athletes in New York and athletes all the way to California. How do we effectively scout and train, scout, recruit, and then train and develop talent, such as Terrence here, to be able to represent our country so that we're putting our best team on the field in our international competitions and at every Olympic game. And so that's a challenge for us in the U.S. So essentially what we've done is we've devised the high performance department through USA Rugby opportunities to become Olympic development academies or national development academies, and depending on your mission. And so what USA Rugby has done is through the insight that's been lended to them through the U.S. Olympic Committee and researching and development and traveling and learning through other high-performance organizations like the New Zealand Rugby Football Union or Australia or England's Rugby Football Union, we now have exchange programs and we now are understanding how they're matriculating athletes from the local level up to the international level or the professional level. And so USA Rugby now has, through their high performance division, created standards of their own and said, hey, if you want to start an Olympic development academy, here's what your requirements are. And they're essentially operating on a 4-year, then a 2-year, then a single year schedule. And they offer insights such as how to build in recovery periods. What are your training standards? What are your competitive, minimum competitive requirements in terms of how many matches and how many training sessions? What type of training sessions will qualify? So they just standardize things that are being developed and tested at the Olympic training centers. They're making the information available to folks like myself who can now go out and implement those same standards at a more local and regional level. So now we've effectively created pathways for people like Terrence, who has world-class speed. Now I can work with him at a local level and develop his skill. And now we have a bigger talent pool and a bigger player pool for people to matriculate up to the Olympic team.
Terrence, and getting back, can you share from the athlete aspect, how has RAA helped you with improving your, you know, your physical aspect and in general, how Rugby Academy of America helped you out to get better?
Well, I would like to say for any newcomers who come in a game of rugby, who want to get better scale-wise, I'm talking about when I came to RAA, I was just a person that's run with the ball, you know, just run and run. I didn't know the game of rugby. I was just, okay, well, I just catch and go. But finding out Marcus and his company helped an athlete like me just coming from a track background and to become a great rugby player, not just, normal rugby player, but great. From skill sets to one of the best skill sets I ever, from pooch kicking, from passing to tackling technique, to from anything down to the T scale-wise, it helps me help me out a lot, even implementing the things that I learned from rugby into bobsled. Mentally standpoint, it made, like I said earlier, it helped me become a better athlete, well-round athlete. Within an academy, it teaches us it's a brotherhood. It's not just one person, because you can just be talented. Talented only can get you so far, but building that brotherhood together and winning together, man, it's great.
Eugene, if I could add to that, one thing that we try to focus on with Terrence specifically is skill development, because he's got raw talent with his speed. And he's got a level of commitment and a drive that you just don't find in every athlete. And in order to achieve or to pursue, say, professional athletic aspirations or international and Olympic athletic aspirations, you've got to have a driving commitment that comes from within. Terrence has that. So it's been a real pleasure to work with an athlete like Terrence. And also it leverages his experience and his personal commitment to his craft. We're able to leverage that to the broader group of athletes at Rugby Academy of America. So we do have conference calls. We have group conference calls that where we can network and share stories and ideas. And that's where we can leverage value from an athlete like Terrence to other athletes who may not be as far along in their training or development, but also a service that we found in order to achieve such significant levels of excellence or achievement in competition, it does help to have a network and a group of people that you can talk to, that in some cases hold you accountable, that in some cases you can just vent to. So it really does take a team effort. You know, teamwork makes the dream work, as they say. And so creating an environment where athletes have a place to come to, we've found an effective way to develop not just the group, but also the individual. And so, I found that to be very, very important, is to creating an effective, environment for athletes to be able to get up every single day and train 2 and 3 times a day, for over the course of several years. In some cases, it really does take, a group of people encouraging them, supporting them, in some cases identifying resources, sharing stories. It really is a kind of a collaborative process. Terrence not only has me, there's other coaches on the RA staff, there's other athletes on the RA organization, but he has coaches all over the country in different sports, and it really does take that level of commitment and outreach. And when you talk to this kid on any given moment, you'll realize that's all he talks about. He lives, lives, eats, and sleeps his training, and that's what it takes to produce athletes that can achieve that level of achievement.
Of course, Olympic Games, the pinnacle of a lot of, if not all of the athletes in the U.S. Everyone wants to get to Olympic Games, and of course, everyone wants to get to that podium, to get those bronze, silver, gold medals. What other events are you using in your pathway? Because you mentioned the word pathway, and I'm using this word a lot when it comes to refereeing and match officiating. You got to show your clients where they're going. What other events, what other competitions are you using?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And, in the United States, I'm really happy to be able to refer to new opportunities that are currently developing. That's what's so exciting about rugby in the United States, really, is that that's a burgeoning sport, right? We're literally blazing trails across the board here, but we have a new professional competitive organization called the MLR, Major League Rugby, and that's another end goal for a lot of our athletes. And if you think about it, whether you're training for the Olympics, or whether you're training because you love the sport, or whatever your aspirations are, it's the challenges that our athletes experience is that you are, and in many ways, you're an amateur. And so you have to ask yourself, how do you secure resources? How do you secure the time and access to facilities in some cases to train in a full-time training environment? So if you're training 3 and 4 times a day, that essentially is your life, and how do you pay for it, right? And so these are challenges that athletes come across, and so a lot of times, and in most cases in sports in general, you've got young people, right? Because they're the most athletic, and they're developing, and you want to catch an athlete early so you can develop the skill and get the repetition in that you need to develop the skill, but in some cases resources are limited, so. The MLR is a great example of how athletes from all over the world have a professional opportunity, not just to get paid, but also it really helps fund their training. And if they're training for an Olympic opportunity or some higher aspiration than just to be a professional athlete, those things are very important. So, but it really is kind of a neat, unique, new thing for us to have a sustaining and sustainable professional league, which is the MLR, which seems to be doing great. I think their business model seems to be doing great. And that's with certainly, and so many of these teams now are also offering academy services to younger people in conjunction with just the training environment. Some folks are able to offer subsidized or supported and assisted housing, jobs in some cases where it's appropriate or necessary. And we've even at our academy got some supplemental educational training services that we've been able to secure through a relationship that we developed with IRANS, the International Rugby Academy out of New Zealand, and the university that they partner with to train their full-time academy athletes, has lended its services to our academy, because you do have young people who need to pursue their education in conjunction with their training. So there are a lot of other opportunities. The MLR is a great one. We now are having more and more American rugby athletes have some success and be invited and included on rosters for international, for European professional club sides. We have several kids that I've coached or worked with over the years that are now getting contracts with premiership teams and achieving some success. So it's been a real, really encouraging step for American rugby to be accepted on the world stage in that regard, not just our Olympic team achieving some success, but having our individual athletes getting contracted and being invited to play at the highest levels professionally around the world. So I can't wait to see where, you know, the game goes in the future, being that America is such a sports heavy culture and, you know, such a big economic machine. I think not only where our athletes find more and more new opportunities to compete at the highest levels, but also to support the sport of rugby around the world in terms of developing the marketability and the consumption of the sport, you know. So I think the more and more that people are committed and develop, you know, themselves as athletes and coaches, administrators, the more and more the appetite is going to grow for the consumption of rugby in America and I would argue around the world.
Right. And what do you think is the strong side of the rugby academy of America? And how would you pitch it to a young talent, young and aspiring talent that wants to become a better player and to join the academy? And I think we're also, after you say this, Terrence will be like you can take a minute and pitch it to Terrence, like before he joined the academy.
Well, you know, anything is possible. And I'll use some of the old sporting cliches. You know, you get out of things what you put into them. And, if you want to achieve excellence, that's what we're here for. We do train all skill levels and all age groups, but essentially we are trying to help America, become better at the world stage. That's ultimately been a personal ambition of my own. And I like supporting and developing athletes and coaches to matriculate to the highest levels. And ultimately, we're just trying to facilitate an environment where people can be at their best. And whether that's in their personal life or their playing careers, we do offer, you know, we do serve as something of an accountability partner. We do create an environment where people can live life and deal with the things off the field, but also while accounting for their training, which is not as easy as it might sound. You know, it really is a significant commitment to be able to train full time and then to deal with the issues that you have to deal with in your personal and professional lives outside of the sport. So, we try to offer a fun training environment. We have lots of supplemental services. It really is a team effort. Eugene, as you know, we've got a pretty large network, you know, rooted here in Indiana, but reaches throughout the Midwest and across the country. And we're willing to help and listen to athletes as they need it. Some athletes like Terrence know what he needs. You know, he's training so hard, he knows where his deficiencies are, where his strengths and where his weaknesses are. And so we try to collaborate and be supportive as we can as needed. And some athletes who aren't as far as long, we can help develop training programs and identify where those strengths and weaknesses are with baseline testing and feedback, regular feedback. We do things like creating portfolios and help tracking from a data standpoint the performance and measure the outcomes of our athletes, which can be very insightful both to the athlete but also to recruiters of teams or organizations that they might want to be a part of. So having that portfolio to take with you and to present to people really speaks to the type of athlete that you are. It's more of a sports science approach to training in terms of collecting data, analyzing the data, understanding your relative disposition. And then it really, our relationships with our athletes can start off as small as, you know, For week one, we generally have our athletes just try to drink a gallon of water a day, you know, which a bigger challenge than you might imagine for some people. And some people make it through and some people don't. but, you know, regardless, we do try to balance the business aspect of being an academy and a sports service company with being a responsible member of the rugby community and developing people and athletes and understanding what people go through. And so that's all part of what RAA has had experience in dealing with. And so far, you know, we're a very small company. We've been taking our time growing, which I'm totally okay with. But we have had some relatively significant success. And I think the future looks extremely bright for us and our athletes. And
yeah, Terrence, getting back to you, how does your day-to-day look like as an athlete? And I think this is going to be really, really, really valuable, not only to the athletes, because we had some athletes on this podcast. We had Jonathan Logel, who is the French Sevens national team player. How is your day-to-day program looks like in a high performance environment, like yourself preparing for tackling that Winter Olympic Games spot?
So first of all, I'm a spiritual person. So my Bible, spending time with God, it gives my day. That's my motivation. Looking at my kids, that's my motivation. It gives me that drive, that, you know, that force to, I was like, look, say, okay, well, it's time to work. It's time to you know, do it. So, you know, first, after I get done with that, spending time in the Word with God, praying, I get up, tackle the day. I start off eating. I eat a lot. And I eat so much. Try to hit the 10,000 calorie day.
Yeah, 10,000 calories. Yeah.
Just for record, what's your weight?
Oh, right now, so I was 205 a couple of weeks ago. I'm probably like 208, 209 right now. So I prep, meal prep, big meal prep, eat a lot, like I said. And then I go to the gym. I spend a lot of time with exercise, warming up. A lot of people don't understand. When I first came into, you know, understanding how to properly work out, like RAA and that's teaching me how to, you know, get my body prepped, just jumping in, working out, trying to get up to par. But, you know, I work out three times a day, my weight session in the morning. Then I go sprint right after my weight session. Then I go right back and to lifting like 2 or 3 hours later. But between those breaks, I'll make sure I'm eating a lot, drink a gallon of water, like Mark said, continue to drink a lot of that. I drink water all day. And then just come back and spend the time with my kids, being a father.
Terrence, what part of the program have you enjoyed the most so far?
Man, skills. I mean, it's a lot, but for me, it's skills. Because the skills don't only just display on the field. It's helped me become a better person, like my mindset. Like just having someone believing in you, like Marcus and, you know, the other coaches and the other athletes that push you and you push them. It's amazing because when I come home, like the mentality is the same way, you know, it's family, you know, you want to be the best you can be. The mentality never changes.
Right. Are you more of a sevens or 15s guy?
Oh man. I like 15s a lot now because 15s, I got bigger, a little bit bigger, and I feel like, yeah, let's hit sevens. Yeah. It's a lot of space. I can just run everywhere. I'm more of a 15 player.
There you go. And can you share with us a funny rugby story?
Oh man! So we was playing. I was in Park City, Utah. This is my first time playing with All Army. We was playing against, I think this it wasn't Fiji. We was playing against somebody, beat like a Polynesian team. So I had hit a guy. I didn't know you can. I didn't know you supposed to. You couldn't hurdle in rugby. So my first time, so I ran. I jumped over a guy, hurdled him, and I talk about I ran so fast. Like after I hurdled. So I took off, a guy hit me, right? But I hit the ground hard. As soon as I hit myself, I got up and was like, coach, I'm fine. The coach said, are you okay? Like, I'm just screaming, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm good, coach. Then I scored. I did score, but I forgot that I scored. And then I was just like that whole time, man. It was like, I never forget. Like the cameraman's like sitting right here at the goal line, like at the, and I'm like, did I score? I'm like, and it kept replaying. So
it's funny because before on YouTube, there were only like before rugby was big in the US, and before MLR and so on, all the big hits on YouTube were in the southern hemisphere, you know, in Australia, New Zealand, in rugby league and so on. But now, like, I see more more and more the tough hits are in the US rugby, which is crazy, you know, in club rugby and so on.
We've got a lot of crossover athletes from sports like football, American football. And where the rules and the laws of the game are a little different. And so, yeah, the contact is a new concept for a lot of our athletes, how to anticipate and how to facilitate, you know, safe contact in rugby. So
That's right. And, yeah, now gentlemen, I'll we'll get to play a game with you. It's called I took it from rugby. It's I called it the hot stone. So, basically, I'll shoot a question to you. So we'll go one by one. We'll start with Marcus, the first one, and then we'll reverse it. So Marcus Terrence and then Terrence Marcus and so on. So you will have, you know, imagine you have a hot stone in your hands and you have to throw the answer as soon as possible. All right. So the first one will start with Marcus, and also Marcus, you'll throw it to Terrence. Who is your favorite athlete of all time?
Michael Jordan.
Carla Nowes.
There you go. Who is your favorite female athlete of all time?
Nia Tapper.
Good one. Lolo Jones.
What's your favorite sports venue?
I'm going to go with Rugby Town USA, Glendale, Colorado.
Rugby Town USA, Glendale, Colorado.
there you go. Love it. What's your favorite sporting event of all time?
Golf.
I'm going to follow his lead. I'm going to go with the Masters in Augusta, Georgia.
Nice. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Best advice I've ever received. Go with God. Trust in God. Trust in your faith.
Hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
As a motivational speaker.
Hopefully still living the dream, doing more of what we're doing today.
That's cool. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. And I think we'll start first with Terrence. And Terrence, if you can share your best advice with with athletes that are in your shoes, who want to, and you can share some motivation as well on to the athletes and not only that want to get one day to be in the Olympics.
My first advice is that, you know, keep God number one. Without God, it's impossible. I know a lot of people don't believe it goes far than that. It's also believing in yourself. Nobody, you are your biggest event. So if you don't believe in yourself, don't expect somebody else to believe in you. You got to work hard. Even if you, like I said earlier, you small or big, don't matter. Don't get stuck, get caught in people's limitations, because limitations only man-made. Continue to keep your head down, keep driving, stay out of trouble. Keep yourself in a positive group of people that's going somewhere. There's a lot of people that's negative these days, and you know, they'll tear you down. So you got to have your foundation built right. You have to work, and I mean work day in and day out. There's no, well, I do it tomorrow. Coach always tell me there's no tomorrow. There's no another second or another minute. You just got to do it now. When the opportunity presents itself, show up and show out.
And Marcus, just share your best advice to guys and gals out there who are in the sports industry, and not only sports industry, and who want to launch a business, a company, a startup. What would be your top advice that you would give to the young guys and gals out there?
Yeah, you know, I would say, you know, lead with love, be generous, be patient, be kind to people. You never know who you meet and how you might be able to leverage value from those relationships along the way. So you want to leave a positive impression, try to add value and make a contribution to every situation that you can. Sometimes being a good leader means being a good follower. Don't be afraid to be a team player. If that means staying after practice and picking up cones, showing up early, you know, doing those small things, the attention to detail does definitely add up. And over the years, you'd be surprised at how far that type of hard work and initiative will take you. You know, you get out of things what you put into them. So definitely hard work, as Terrence mentioned, is critical. But being patient, I think, not just with those around you and who you're working with, but also with yourself. Things don't happen overnight, and you will most likely experience some sort of a setback. And I think what defines us most of all is how we recover from those setbacks. How fast we pick ourselves up when we fall down, how fast we pick up those around us when they fall down. and just being positive, good, and making good contributions to those around you. I think that that always pays off.
That's right. I think kindness is also a big one when it comes to as an advice in general. So, Terrence, can you share with the audience what's the best way for if someone felt connected and wants to connect with you, chat with you, and of course, if they need some extra motivation as well?
Well, you could connect with me or also follow me on Facebook, Terrence J. White. On Facebook. And then you can follow my Instagram. It is gods_talent_11.
And Marcus, if someone wants to connect with you as well, how they can do it? What's the best way?
Yeah, we've got a few websites. RugbyAcademyAmerica.com. I'm also very active over at TravelStayAmerica.com, TravelStayIndy.com. On Instagram at Marcus1774. As well as on Facebook and Marcus Hurley. And feel free to follow up with any questions or comments. I love to collaborate and hear from people. Whether you need advice or you have some advice to offer, I'm here. Eugene, thank you so much. All of your podcast episodes are funny and insightful. I really have appreciated knowing you and working with you over the last year or so that we've known each other. So thanks again for inviting us. This was a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Terrence, for taking the time. Thank you, Marcus, for taking the time as well. And I hope you're all staying safe in this challenging times, to be honest. And hopefully we get stronger from it. Definitely all the crises made the humanity stronger. So stay safe and looking forward to reconnect soon.
That was it for this episode. Please share it with your friends and everyone who you think will get value out of it. Also share it on all social media platforms and tag the Big E using the details from the episode notes. If you enjoyed it, leave a rate and review. Make sure you stay tuned and subscribed to not miss another episode. On behalf of the eProcast team, stay safe and see you in the next one. Peace out.